Sign them in.
Good evening. We'll call our City Council meeting to order, and we're going to begin with a Pledge of Allegiance by Councilmember Burbeau.
Stand and please join me in saluting our nation's flag.
We have a fairly light agenda tonight, so light that our city manager and city attorney trusted us to do this on our own. We'll begin with a roll call.
Councilmember Burbeau.
Here.
Councilmember Moreno.
Here.
Councilmember Sturdivant.
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Fonzie.
Here.
Mayor O'Malley.
Here.
All present.
Thank you. First item is the approval of the agenda.
So moved.
Second.
We have a motion by Councilman Sturdivant, seconded by Councilwoman Moreno. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Sturdivant?
Yes.
Councilmember Moreno?
Yes, ma'am.
Councilmember Burbeau?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Fonzie?
Yes.
Mayor O'Malley?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Thank you. We're going to begin with a presentation by the Community Action Partnership of San Luis Obispo County, CAPSLO, regarding the 211 program. And we have Nancy Lovelace here this evening, the Victim Resource Specialist.
Good morning.
Welcome.
Evening. Thank you for letting me come here and talk to you about 211. I do have a few slides to let you know. I am a resource specialist here in the North County, and I want to talk to you a little bit about the 211 service that is available here in our area. I can have let you know this is a collaboration of four agencies. We have a Community Action Partnership of San Luis Obispo, the District Attorney's Office, the County Office of Education, and United Way, which hosts the 211 system. And I'm here to kind of generate awareness for what it is, because even though 211 has been around for several years, a lot of people aren't familiar with it. And 211 is a central resource that people can go to find all the information that's available here in SLO County. If you can go to the next slide. Oftentimes when people are in need, they know they have a concern, they know they have a need, they just don't know where to go. And so 211 is that central location that people can call or they can access online, and they can talk to someone and just say, I need help. and they're trained contact specialists to work with them to kind of help them untangle some of the needs that they have and figure out where they can go so they don't have to call around aimlessly to all these different organizations here in the county. So they can call one number and that one person can help them decipher all they need and get them that information. It's really one-stop resource shopping. Go to the next slide. 211 is free. It is confidential. It is multilingual so that communication is not a problem. And they're able to find information on every non-emergency need that we have. We have over 800 nonprofits, government organizations, and non-government organizations in this county alone to service the population. And that number is growing as we go out and find new nonprofits that have formed or groups that are lesser known in the area. And so when I say any non-emergency need, I mean any non-emergency need. If you need someone, if you know someone that needs help with housing, counseling, maybe they have a child with special needs, or they're taking care of an aging grandparent with dementia and they need respite care, or maybe they just need to find affordable pet care in our area. You name it, support groups, systems, it's all in there, and it is growing. We are going out and building a really robust system by presentations such as this, by going out and talking to people and finding out what's out there that maybe doesn't know about 211 and doesn't know that they're eligible to be in the system. So we're really trying to build a really robust, like I said, a robust system here in SLO County for people to access. Next slide, please. You can access 211 three ways. You can call, which is easy. You can go online, and we are planning to launch an upgraded website later this month, hopefully. It is going to be even easier to use than what we have now. It'll have drop-down searches and guided searches for people because a lot of times you don't know what you don't know. And so it's hard to search for a resource if you don't know that it's out there. So you can go online or you can access it via your smartphone. We have a texting as a new feature. You text the zip code that you're in to 898-211, and you get a real-life person texting you back asking what you need, and so they work you through that process. So you can access it three ways. Last slide, please. Like I said, we will be launching our new website, hopefully the end of September, and so we're looking to go to organizations, agencies, and do this a longer presentation, a guided one with access to the internet so we can show people how they can access it themselves, how these agency providers can then in turn help their clients and customers access the information. And I just want to let you know that I left some 211 information on the back table. We have cards that briefly explain what the service is, and it's in English and Spanish, so people if they would like to take those with them, either for personal use or if they are a part of a service organization of some sort. And I left my business card there as well if anybody would like to take that and like some more information or more cards for the 211 system. So thank you for that. And I don't know if anybody has any questions for me, but that's it in a very quick Cliff's Notes nutshell.
Well, that's what 211 should
that's
be.
That's right. It's a 411 on 211 right
very
there.
Very good. Any council questions? No, we thank you for...
Okay.
Did you... You could repeat the website?
The website is 211slow.org. You can see it right there at the bottom of the slide. And if you want, if you're so inclined, you can like us on Facebook, but because we're constantly trying to shed some light on events and organizations and programs in the area. So if you have a group or an event or something that you would like us to help you get the word out, please like us and let us know so that we can work together with you. So.
Very good. Well, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Our next presentation, we almost had to arm wrestle over because everybody loves Alps. We had the pleasure of joining them for a ribbon cutting, I guess it was, this last time. Brian, Roberta, and I were able to make it there. And, of course, we did a little reminiscing for Roberta and I. But we won't retell those stories. We're going to have Charles Verbeau give us a little background and read the proclamation.
Well, thank you, Mayor. And yes, I don't know who I was arm wrestling with, but I did ask to make this presentation for a couple reasons. One, I was unable to attend the ground or the ribbon cutting last Friday due to a prior commitment. But also, I've been a member of ALPS and have even spent a very small amount of time working on the trail until I got poison oak and kind of chickened out. This is just such a great project, and for those people who might be listening on TV or the radio and who haven't been aware of this, this has been a long-term project that Tascadero Land Preservation Society has worked on, getting the Three Bridges Oak Preserve Trail up and open. Began almost 10 years ago, and it's a real testament to the folks in the audience today who are here from ALPS and have served on the ALPS board that they've stuck with the process for all these years. Because nowadays, nothing happens quickly when it involves the government, and their patience is very much deserves to be recognized. So it began over 10 years ago looking at the purchase of this 103-acre site. In 2012, they were awarded a grant in the amount of $300,000 from the California Natural Resources Agency to develop approximately 3 miles of multi-use trails. The city and ALPS worked together for over 2 years on various design iterations, and happened to see a couple of those meetings. And again, their patience and just their flexibility in working through different ideas and trying to get the best project possible really showed through. And in 2015, the city accepted as a capital project to work on the trailhead, and the city allocated $500,000 of open space funds to work on the trailhead. But ALPS did basically all of the work on the trail itself. They did, through their grant, have some participation by the California Cadet Corps, or Conservation Corps. But having been briefly a part of the work group, I would get the emails every week about, we're going to meet here, and we're going to do the work on this and this week. And as time went on, it went from 1 day to 2 days to 4 hours to more. And just an incredible amount of dedication that this group of volunteers put in. And I think our whole community owes them a real debt of gratitude and will for actually generations that this trail will be out there for people who, long after us, will be able to enjoy. And ALPS will continue to maintain it as well. And I wanted to specifically recognize a couple of folks who don't like to take a lot of credit, and that's why I'm going to bring them up. But that's two folks, Mike Orvis and Bruce Boniface, who have just really poured their heart and soul into this project and have been there every step of the way. And they've had a whole great crew of volunteers, but they've really made it happen. Personal dedication, probably a lot of personal money as well, but a huge amount of personal time. And with that, I wanted to read the official commendation presented to the Atascadero Land Preservation Society from the City of Atascadero for the Three Bridges Oak Preserve and Trail Project. Whereas the Three Bridges Oak Preserve is a 103-acre undeveloped parcel located in the City of Atascadero, which consists of unique native vegetation representative of both the mountains and interior valleys of California's Central Coast. And whereas the Atascadero Land Preservation Society owns the property and through multiple agencies and community partners obtained funding to establish a trailhead, construct a multi-use trail system, and provide cultural and natural resource information, signage. And whereas ALPS worked together with the City of Atascadero to develop both a trailhead and a multi-use trail system open to the public, providing access to a beautiful natural area for residents and visitors to enjoy. And whereas the project provides the public access to the beautiful Three Bridges Oak Preserve area and trail system, which features a hiking, biking, and horseback riding trail. And whereas the ALPS team spearheaded the overall project and trail construction and spent countless volunteer hours to build the trail, incorporating every idea possible to make it both an enjoyable and rewarding experience. Now, therefore, we, the City Council of the City of Atascadero, do hereby recognize and commend the Atascadero Land Preservation Society for their dedication to protecting and preserving the environment and while helping to provide the public access to a beautiful and unique property and trail system within our community.
Thank you, Councilmember Burbeau. One of the big problems I have with Councilmember Burbeau is it sounds so much like former Councilman Barreau, and you don't know how many times I've called on Councilman Barreau, but it's... Yeah, I thought you... One person in the audience would appreciate that. I would like to invite up President Mike Orvis and former past President Bruce Boniface to kind of take the lead. Be free to say a few words, and we'd like to invite everyone up. I'll let you introduce anyone here that you'd like, and then we'll just do a photo op up here. And anyone that's here that's participated, that certainly includes former Councilmember Clay, who was with me voting on a lot of this, as well as Councilmember Barreau, but you'll be here as part of the board as well. So please come forward, gentlemen, and introduce everyone else and say whatever you'd like.
Well, let's keep it short. Anyway,
too late for that.
Thank you very much. We appreciate it, and it was truly a community coming together to help make this happen. And I think that's what makes it so special, is Alps took the lead, but there was so much collaboration with the city, with volunteers, with especially city staff was fantastic in helping us along. The grantors, there's just so many people to thank. And as I said, at our dedication, it's always hard because you feel like you miss somebody, but really thank you to everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you for the recognition and the appreciation that you've shown Alps and our project out at Three Bridges. Like Mike said, it definitely was a group effort. Not only with the Alps board, who was represented well here tonight, but also by the city council, city staff has gone way over the top to support us in this process. And it's kind of funny, you know, when we decided that we would do this, you know, some 10 years ago, we didn't really stop and think how much work this was going to be. We just said, well, this seemed like the right thing to do, and so we decided to go ahead and do it. It did take quite a while, but it was never, it was always a labor of love, and I think for all of us that were on Alps side involved in it, I think that's the way we looked at it. Even though it was a lot of work, required a lot of focus, we wanted to do it, and I think it's a great thing for the city, and it was a great partnership for us to work with the city staff and the council and everybody else. So I appreciate that, and like everybody said, it'll be there for a long, long time, and so I think it's a great thing.
Thanks. You. If one of you gentlemen would just by name introduce all the board that is here, and then please come on up because we're going to join you up in front for a picture, and former council members, please join us as well.
First off, Dan O'Grady, our secretary, Deborah Stafford.
Come on up, Deb.
Yeah. Deb Dite, Corey Meyer, Meg Perry, and Ellen Barreau. One thing Bruce forgot to say was, keep your eye on the prize. That was always our saying as we went along.
Thanks for all your help.
Well, Councilmember Burbeau says we neglected one other duty, so what would that be?
We never gave them a round of applause.
Well, let's do that. Thank you, Alps. Okay, well, now it's time for us to do our equivalent of work here and go through the consent calendar. We do have a number of items that are considered routine by nature, do not take a lot of discussion, and we can vote on them as a group. However, if a member of the council or the community wishes to pull one for further discussion, we will do that. I'm going to pull item 5, the El Camino Real lighted crosswalk replacement. Somebody asked me, so you guys are buying real lighted crosswalks? No, it's El Camino Real lighted crosswalks. But there was a lot of confusion about crosswalks. As I was on KPRL today, a number of phone calls came in. I did let the city engineer know that we'd be needing to talk a little more detail. There's quite a bit going on about these, so I'm going to go ahead and have the city engineer talk about this. We'll see if there's any public comment, then we can just keep it on the consent calendar, maybe vote for everything. But you know some of the questions that were raised. Why don't you give us a little background on some of the damaged crosswalks, what we've been doing, what your plan is.
Sure. Thank you, Mayor O'Malley. This particular item is related to the mid-block crosswalks we have on El Camino Real. So cars are required to stop at marked crosswalks, but we also have the ability to enhance those crosswalks where needed and warranted. And we have 4 locations that we have, one up by Virginia Plaza by the PD, and the next one would be at East Mall, and then at between Galaxy Theater and Rabobank. And then the last one is down by El Bordo, down by Chacamon Liquor in that area. So we actually replaced 2 of these systems a couple years back, the one at Virginia Plaza and the one at Galaxy Theater going over to Rabobank. And we actually were planning on replacing these other 2 at East Mall and El Bordo. So during the last budget cycle that we just went through on the CIP, we had $80,000 or $40,000 a piece. That's what these cost to be installed and supplied, and had that budgeted and had planned on doing that this fiscal year anyway, but we had to speed that up. And this particular report is related to kind of the emergency-ness of it, because the one at East Mall got hit and run in early June, so right after school got done, they got hit and run. And we felt like this was a matter of public safety, because these components that you get aren't just, you can't walk into the hardware store or the lighted crosswalk store and pick them off the shelf. So you have to actually order them from the manufacturer. And so we know there's a lot of lead time, and we wanted to get these back in place before school started back up in late August. And we actually want the same system. So the one around the same time, the one down at El Bordo, we've been having problems with programming the timing of it. So you can program these crosswalks to flash for a certain duration after you push the button. And in the west to east direction was kept defaulting back to like a 10-second crossing. The California Manual on Uniform Traffic Control Devices is the kind of leading it's national standard on timing of these crosswalks. And they recommend no less or no shorter time than 3.5 feet per second. So you could, you know, for instance, El Camino Real, curb to curb is 80 feet. So if you add another 5 feet on both sides to, say, the center of the sidewalks, that's 90 feet. So you divide that by 3.5 seconds, or feet per second, that equates to about 25 seconds. We actually set these a little longer at 3 feet per second. So instead of 25 seconds, they flash for 30 seconds. And that just helps people that if they push it and don't get going right away, or you know, they walk a little slower or whatever, it gives them ability to cross it while it's still flashing. But that one down there we had been having problems with around the same time. It just kind of failed. Both of these systems, the one down at Alberta was obsolete. The one up at East Mall just didn't really, we weren't impressed with the product. And we had selected the Silicon Constellation system as our standard when we replaced the one at Virginia Plaza and Galaxy Theater. So we went ahead and ordered these, and unfortunately, it was a hit and run at the East Mall one, and we were planning on replacing those. They're the motion sensor ones that are down on Hygera. So, you know, junior high and high school kids just walk right through that looking at their phones, and we just felt that wasn't the best thing, that we want them to stop, push a button before they cross. So it was an opportunity to improve those and upgrade those to the new system. These new systems are really cool. They're really bright. They're wireless, so the impavement lights are actually wireless. So if there's no broken wires and digging up the street, they're all solar, which is impressive with as bright as those are. So they're a really great system. You know, we've been impressed with them. And it's only one system that we have to learn then, too, and we can keep parts and swap them out and everything. So, but we do time that for about 30 seconds across the road. I actually went down. I know Mayor O'Malley got, you know, it's funny, you know, just one person might call into that show, and all of a sudden you get six more people calling in, but one of the callers was concerned about it not working. I actually went down there before this meeting and tried it out and timed it and everything, and everything's working fine. We did replace the signs, so the signs that flash with a push button have been replaced. We're waiting for the in pavement lights to show up. Those should be here in a couple weeks, and then once those will go in the pavement in both directions, so that that really gives it the much more enhanced more enhanced visual and everything else. So, but sometimes on those, if you use those, you have to put your thumb right in the middle of the push button because it's an optic in there, and then you'll hear it beep, and then it'll trigger. The lights are flashing. So a little different from the old ones that we replaced. The one that got hit at East Mall, we do not know who did that, so we didn't have any insurance claim or anything on that. So the chief and I just checked that, and there's not a report on that. So hopefully I answered other questions, but if you have others, I can certainly answer them.
No, thank you. And again, it's well thought through. Safety is first, and we're going to solar-powered lights, reducing a lot of the maintenance issues, and they're all going to be interchangeable parts now, all the same, so that should help with maintenance. But there can be a problem now and then. We may not be aware of it, and I just like we had about three callers today. All you got to do is call a city hall, ask for public works, report something that's malfunctioning. Folks will take a look at it. We want to keep things working and safe. Thank you. Since I did open it up, I don't know if there's any council questions on that particular item. Go ahead.
The light in the past would allow students to walk and continue to walk, and you could get a line that would go for minutes on end as they straggled across the street. This one, it sounds like it'll go for 30 seconds, and then they have to stop and get out of there and push it again, or how does this work?
So I'm not sure. I haven't tested this, if it just goes for 30 seconds and then stops and you have to push it again, but that's what my understanding is of this. It won't, if you push it during like mid, after it's been flashing for 10 seconds, I don't think it resets, so I think you need to push that again once it stops.
Okay, but I'm assuming that the drivers will still stop if they're straggling through. We'll hope for that.
Correct. And a lot of the people that drive on El Camino Real during the times when, you know, at the 3 o'clock mark, it seems like kind of expected. A lot of them are parents and everything, but it does create a traffic jam. I see it out my window every day.
Thank
we're,
you.
We're really looking to maybe correct some of that with some of the La Plaza development and maybe be able to consolidate some of that if possible. But and part of this El Camino Real corridor study that we're looking at too will really help us out with that.
Thank you. Any other questions? And one thing I note that Councilman Sturtevant had discussion on at our city schools meeting is we did talk with our school district, and they have actually done training with students, a little bit of etiquette and politeness in crossing. Our police chief was instrumental in working with that, and I did notice a difference. I think it's something that has to be continued, a training, but that was helpful. Also, I think folks may not always realize that when somebody steps in a crosswalk, until they step out of the crosswalk at the other end, you're not supposed to be driving through there. It's a slight inconvenience, but that is the law, right, Chief?
Yes, that is the law. We also have been very active, as you say, in reminding our pedestrians, many of whom are students, that they're not allowed to enter into that crosswalk until it is clear. And so just because there's a crosswalk there doesn't mean you can immediately step off the curb and begin to cross the street, causing vehicles to have to slam to a stop. They have to follow the rules of the road, just like the vehicles do. So really, it's common courtesy for both drivers and pedestrians.
Very good. Thank you. Are there any other consent calendar items anyone wants further discussion on from the council or the public? Then I would entertain a motion on consent calendar item.
In regards to the crosswalks, I think it's very important. The lighted crosswalks are very important. I always remember in the old days, there was a guy on the corner trying to cross El Camino Real, and I come back a half an hour later, and he was still standing there. So, you know, the lighted crosswalks are important. They're a safety issue, and I support it 100%. Thank you. Jerry Clay, 7285 Sycamore Road.
Thank you. Though you don't actually have to state your name or address anymore legally, but we do encourage it. I'd entertain a motion on the consent calendar.
Real quick, can I get two motions just since we engaged in discussion on that item? Can we actually just...
Okay, I'll go ahead and move approval of consent calendar item 5. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, we have a motion by Mayor O'Malley, seconded by Councilman Fonzie. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Bravo?
Yes.
Councilmember Moreno?
Yes, ma'am.
Councilmember Sturtevant?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Fonzie?
Yes.
Mayor O'Malley?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Thank you. For the remaining consent calendar items?
I'll move approval.
Second.
Motion by Mayor Pro Tem Fonzie, seconded by Councilman Sturtevant. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Sturtevant?
Yes.
Councilmember Bravo?
Yes.
Councilmember Moreno?
Yes, ma'am.
Mayor Pro Tem Fonzie?
Yes.
Mayor O'Malley?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Thank you. We do not have any updates from the city manager. Don't have a city manager here this evening. However, she is away, I believe, at AZA. I was trying to remember what that stands for. We know the zoological is the middle. American Zoological Association. Yeah, not aquarium. And aquarium, probably, but... No, and that's very important to us. We have one of the few accredited zoos in the country, and we take great pride in that and glad Rochelle is actively protecting that for us. Next on the agenda is Community Forum, which is an opportunity for any of you to speak to all of us on any topic that is not on the agenda but is under our jurisdiction. Welcome.
Hi, Jerry Clay, 7285 Sycamore Road. Would I come here tonight, and certainly I don't want to bother you guys, you're doing a good job, but the animal shelter is fresh on my mind, and this idea of 14 to 17 million is kind of ridiculous. I think that the council here needs to side in with Paso Robles and you got to realize how much clout you really have, because if Paso and Atascadero would pull out, why the other cities would would be in big trouble. But I think this whole thing with the animal shelter and the cost is ridiculous. First place, they're talking about tearing the old facility down. And in my opinion, it needs to be refurbished, the old facility refurbished and the office area refurbished, and then build a wing on the other side, for the to enlarge the shelter. And the other thing is with cats, they don't need to be an individual components. They operate great in family type situations. And with the cats, they could have portable buildings, have a fixed up wonderful. But I just want to tell you how much clout you really got. You got a lot of clout, and this needs to be renegotiated. They don't need to tear down the facility. I've been in there many times. Vivian and I are rescuers, so to speak, and we've taken a number of dogs out of the pound over the years. And they just need to refurbish that and cut the cost down to, $5 to $7 million would be a big deal. But keep in mind, you got the hammer, and this thing needs to be renegotiated. I would think that it would be nice to have a member from each city meet with the county and go over exactly what's going on and get those costs down, and don't tear down that present facility. Just fix it up a little bit. And thank you very much.
Thank you. Are there any other members of the public wishing to speak? Seeing none approach, we'll close the community forum, bring it back to council. I'm going to take this opportunity to respond, and I was going to bring up these points during the committee reports, but since we don't have a city attorney to keep an eye on us, we can just go ahead and get work done here. This, I'm going to inject in the, she laughs, we had our mayor's meeting this last Friday, and one of the topics, of course, Mayor Martin and I brought up was the topic of the animal shelter. This has actually been something Mayor Martin and I have been discussing since we had our discussion. As you recall, the county came to us and said, it's the only deal in the county. You've got to sign on. The board is supportive. There's no options. And if we don't move forward, you could be left out, and you may end up with a more expensive alternative. And we said, gee, I guess we have to take this, but we don't particularly like it. Well, we immediately, as a council, said, well, let's look at some alternatives. And both of our community's staffs have been doing just that. And Mayor Martin and I have talked with some private sector folks, not only in the for-profit, but also the volunteer. We've got some great organizations in our community that work with animals, and we think they can be part of the solution. Well, we were fortunate to have Board Supervisor John Pashong at our mayor's meeting, and Mayor Martin and I, both barrels were bringing up many of the same topics former Councilmember Clay brought up. I've also met with Supervisor Arnold, who encouraged us that, from the board's perspective, they kind of heard the opposite side of the argument from the county staff. They kind of told the board that the cities love this plan, and I would say, no, that's not how we heard it. So I know John Pashong was very supportive at the mayor's meeting that thinks we need to take a look at this. And so what I have done is I have a letter here that will be signed by Mayor Martin and myself, and I think based on previous discussions, I think this is something that all the council could support, and we intend to personally deliver it to the Board of Supervisors when they have their hearing. Now, this letter is not worded as strongly as we would like, given all of the circumstances, but we'll have the opportunity to share what we think. We have got some potential alternatives, and we'd like to consider them up in the North County. But just for the record, I'm going to read this, and if there are no objections by council, I will sign this along with Mayor Martin, and we will deliver this to the Board of Supervisors. Regarding countywide animal shelter time extension request to the supervisors, the cities of Atascadero and Paso Robles have concerns regarding the apportioned construction and operating costs of the proposed countywide animal shelter, which will significantly increase overall costs above current levels. The North County, which constitutes approximately one-third of the total animal nights at the shelter, has not yet had the opportunity to determine if a more cost-effective option can be developed. The cities of Atascadero and Paso Robles are now working in partnership to investigate whether or not a North County animal shelter would be a practical solution that would serve our mutual best interests. We wish to look at, among other alternatives, a North County facility that would save travel time and could involve our North County animal groups. We are currently in the process of locating a consulting architect engineer to advise us on the needed physical plant and the cost of that plant, and an operational expert to advise us on the nature and scope of the services that should be offered, as well as their projected costs. We would welcome the involvement of county representatives throughout the entire process. We believe these steps, together with the public meetings needed to enable us to decide on an appropriate course of action, will require up to 6 months to be fully accomplished. We are disappointed that these steps have not yet been completed, as we don't want to delay your efforts undertaken on behalf of the entire county. However, we believe that it would be best if the county could either amend its schedule or restructure the sequence of its efforts so the decisions can be coordinated and any waste or rework can be avoided. Further discussions, really, since this letter, as it appears the county really easily can delay their processing, and it would give all the cities a chance to take another look at this. In our discussions, and Mayor Martin and I have brought this up a couple times at our countywide mayor's meeting, there's even interest of other cities perhaps joining in with us, because we see tremendous potential for cost savings, and quite frankly, the other topics I'll talk about during the mayor's report later, we were talking about mental health services and homeless shelter needs. We'd much rather see some of these savings go to other higher, very important needs in our community that are underserved as well. So we believe there's an opportunity to do a lower cost alternative, and with that, if there's no objections from the council, I will co-sign this letter, and we will personally deliver it to the board, and I will feel free to express my personal opinions about the process to date and how we think we can do better. So thank you. That'll end our committee report. That is not an item, since it's not, that's a report. And we are not taking action on that. It's really from a follow-up of a previous discussion. So we'll move on then.
Mr. Mayor, I'd have some questions about some of the content of the letter. And
if we
generally very supportive, but I don't think we're supposed to get into a discussion on it.
You are exactly correct.
Not on the agenda. So. I don't know.
We will.
Unfortunately, it's just a report, and he read into the record, and that's the extent of the discussion we can have on it.
Unless you would like to object, in which case we won't send the letter.
Well, no, I don't object.
Okay, then let's go on with. We will have more discussion on this.
I would suggest we agendize this item at some point and have another in-depth discussion in the fairly near future.
Yeah, I think the city manager intends to do that. There's a lot of research being done by both staffs. So I think let it reflect that it's been suggested we agendize this topic when the city manager has some details to present to us. Thank you. Any other comments about our community forum? We'll move on. We also don't have any public hearings, no manager reports, which takes us down to council announcements and reports. And under one of the council announcements, as Councilmember Burbeau requested, we have that. Any other announcements or reports before we go into committee reports? Anything of a general nature? Go ahead, Councilman Moreno.
Yes, I had seen something in the Atascadero News a couple of weeks ago. There was a picture and a headline that said Farmers Market winds down, and I was a little disappointed with that. I think probably they were talking about the Chef's Summer Sizzle, and so I will give that a pass. But Farmers Market is far from winding down every Wednesday. We're still in Sunken Gardens 3 to 6, and we're actually growing. We have, I think, 27 vendors now. We're doing events the first Wednesday of every month, including the youth. We've got cider tastings, wine tastings, all sorts of things coming. So it's very active, a lot of people there. So if you haven't been, come join in. It is gearing up, I would say. Thank you.
Thank you. Let's, any other general announcements before we move on to committee reports? Then let's go ahead and I will just go ahead and go down the list as we have them listed under committee reports. So I'll begin no city schools committee to report on. We did have our county mayor's roundtable this last week in Paso. And quite frankly, much like tonight, we didn't have much on the agenda. So we got way deep into other items that came up, which were mental health services. And I was able to strongly make the point with board chairperson Pashong about the need for mental health services on the mobile crisis level. It used to be that we had mental health had mobile crisis teams that could respond in the community if law enforcement came across a situation and they found someone who appeared to be needing some assessment. Rather than spending 1 to 5 hours with a person in the community, and then perhaps the only alternative is taking them to the county jail, and then hope for some triage of health and human service issues. It used to be they had folks from the health agency that would go on site, kind of make that triage decision, relieving the officers to deal with criminal behavior and community service, and then have mental health or substance abuse issues dealt with by a professional. And that also kept more of those kind of situations out of the jail. So I think certainly supervisors are very much tuned into that need of relooking at mental health services at the jail, but I think we wanted to make the point that there's also a need for that intermediate step, that triage that occurs, that decision-making that occurs out on the streets, and every city is faced with a lot of time being used to make that assessment. So we hope we could get some help in that area, too. Another big topic was SB 649, which if you listen to KPRL today, folks were a little concerned that they thought there wasn't enough process on a cell tower being put in downtown Santa Margarita. Well, I got bad news for you. The state has SB 649 that if it passed, we would have no local control on deciding where cell towers go, and literally any public location, any public building would be required to allow cell companies to put up towers if they wanted to at no cost and with no local control. I said I do not want to see a cell tower on the top of our historic city hall, and that would just be one of many examples. I was able to Jordan Cunningham, our assemblyperson, was very much involved in this process, and he'd actually called me, and we've been text back and forth informing him about all the county mayors opposed to this, and you know, he basically is agreeing with this. And as I understand today, I think the legislature's backing away, which is good. It really was, again, action by League of California Cities that once again had to fight for local control. Other big topic was the animal shelter issue. I just kind of spilled my guts on that one already. So that's kind of it for the mayor's roundtable. We will be hosting the next one right in this building, and I plan on showcasing our Joy Park, for one, to all the other mayors, and have invited Debbie Arnold and John Pashong as well as we usually have Senator Monning's office in Jordan Cunningham's office here. And then we'll also be talking about some tourism aspects. But I wanted to kind of showcase what our community is doing with the Joy Park. Let's see, what other? We have San Luis Council Governments. I might ask our city engineer It's tough. It's tough who could be the briefest, you or me. I'm going to give it a chance that it's you. Yeah, maybe Nick. Maybe not on this one. We had quite a little disagreement with Caltrans on working away on Highway 41. We got a couple of grants on that. Could you kind of give the abbreviated version of what we're fighting for and how it looks for us?
Sure. I'll try to do this in 1,000 words or less. I'm just kidding. So we had a meeting last week with Caltrans. We were kind of getting, with the resurfacing project, the council a couple meetings ago authorized staff to go ahead and pursue getting bike lanes added to Morrow Road between El Camino Real and San Gabriel as part of this SB1 resurfacing project that Caltrans is doing. There to get contiguous bike lanes through there at 5 feet would require, at the current pavement width, because this is a maintenance project, so they can't widen anything, would require narrowing the lanes to 11 feet. The maintenance division at Caltrans is really focused on putting things back like they are and feel like they have constraints there and are kind of balking at being able to narrow that down to 11 feet. So the mayor and a couple of folks from Ron DeCarli and another Rich Murphy from SLOCOG and I went and met with the district director at Caltrans last week and talked about this and really kind of pressed them on having complete streets. And, you know, we did this $200,000 study and in anticipation of the SHOP project coming, which is in 2020, I believe. So anyways, that's going to really be focused on pedestrian safety and connectivity. The we're looking at the bicycle component to try to make that a realization. One of the things with the SHOP project that's kind of evolved is that they are going to build out a lot of the 41 right away. So those areas that are undeveloped, well, first of all, the open drainage ways will be piped, so that's a huge thing. And then they're going to build out a lot of the full, you know, paved areas in there with the curb gutter, sidewalk, and then areas they'll have a detached 6-foot concrete sidewalk. So there's an opportunity in the future to maybe even have something better with the SHOP project to have buffered bike lanes. So if we were to do this with a resurfacing project that they're planning next year, the conventional bike lanes would be right next to the through lanes. But if in the future we're looking at maybe having a 5-foot buffer between the edge of that travel lane and the edge of the bike lane, because there's plenty of room out there. There's a ton of room to work with once it gets all paved out. So we're the director at Caltrans was going to check back with his staff on the constraints and get back to us. Well, did that sum it up, Mayor?
I think that's pretty darn good. We basically managed to take three different grants and kind of package them together to make a complete street. And a lot of times folks say, O'Malley, why are you focused so much on bicycle and pedestrian lanes? Well, to get to the bicycle and pedestrian lanes, Caltrans first has to fill in those ditches with culvert, pave over it to get over to where the bike lanes are supposed to be. So that's kind of a good way to get to improvements along where I know all the business owners were very pleased to see those sidewalks completed, improved parking, and usually probably the abandonment of a lot of the right-of-way that Caltrans currently has given the property to the local privately owned businesses because they don't need 5 lanes. We can do fine with 3 and with all the traffic studies. So it's been a culmination of several grants coming together. We put our $30,000 of city funds in for some little studying on striping, but we are getting a lot of bang for the buck. Really commend our staff for getting these grants lined up, and it is coming together, so thank you. The last thing I'd mention just on the Regional Transportation Authority, coming up September 24th, they're going to do a public input meeting right over here at Round Table. They They usually try to have a meeting to get input from folks that ride the bus. I point out that our bus stop is right there where folks can go right to Roundtable and Galaxy Theater. They usually have low participation, so I want to thank some donations. We've got, if you happen to come to give public input on the Regional Transportation Authority right here at, that's going to be 4:30 on September 24th at Roundtable, you'll get pizza, drinks, and a free pass to Galaxy Theater. I'm thinking we may get a better turnout than anybody else in the county. I remind all of our Cal Poly friends, you know, you can hop right on the bus at Cal Poly, drop yourself right into Galaxy Theater, and have a pretty good evening. So we'll see if we can get more folks involved with that. And right after that public input meeting, our RTA executive director will be here giving an update on what we're doing with RTA. So we'll hear a little bit about that. And yes, there's Integrated Waste Management Authority meeting tomorrow, so we'll talk about that in a month. So next up would be Mayor Pro Tem Fonzie on a whole lot of complicated organizations she works with.
Well, actually, there hasn't been any meetings. It's been slow for the last 2 weeks, so no report.
Okay. Any word on where we are with the recruitment for APCD Executive Director?
Yes, I'll be sitting on a board next week to make that selection.
Very good. That would be Councilmember Burbeau next.
Yes, tomorrow the Design Review Committee meets and has four items, rather, to consider. And that's here at City Hall in Conference Room 306. If anybody in the public is interested, we'll be looking at a drive-through restaurant at 73, and where the old Coco's restaurant is. We'll be looking at a drive-through coffee shop in the spot between Jack in the Box and Marston's 101. And be looking at a six-lot subdivision that's actually part of the Del Rio specific plan on Marisol Lane. And that's tomorrow. And then the Homeless Services Oversight Council will be meeting next week. And that's it.
Thank you. Councilman Moreno.
Yeah, no report. Everyone's been on summer break. EVC will start back up in 2 weeks.
Thank you. And I think they have an event coming up pretty soon. I don't know.
Yes, that's the fourth Wednesday of this month. It's their annual event.
Get together.
Yep.
Very good. And Councilmember Sturdivant.
Yes, I'll be representing the city at the League of California Cities annual conference in Sacramento this week. And it's going to be a lot of interesting topics. And one of the main topics is marijuana. So I want to pick the brains of a lot of other cities and see what all the cities are talking about, and just kind of get a feel for how this is being handled. And it's always a good, a lot of different topics that affect all the cities in California. So it's a really good opportunity to network and to help learn some things that can help us here. So I'll report back when we get back in 2 weeks.
Very good. Any other council announcements or staff reports on any item? Well, then we can adjourn before 7 o'clock, and so let's do it. Thank you.
And don't we have to announce?
We aren't quite done yet. And I'm going to ask our city clerk to talk about the closed session items, and we will open up for public comment on those items. After we meet on those closed session items, someone will come back here to report out if there's any action items. Ms. City Clerk, could you perform the legal necessities for us?
There are three closed session items tonight: conference with labor negotiators, designated representative, Rochelle Rickard, city manager, and the employee organization is the Atascadero Police Association. Conference with legal counsel, anticipated litigation, two cases, and conference with legal counsel, existing litigation, and this is in regards to Castle Rock Development et al. Versus the City of Atascadero.
Thank you. So we will move to the closed session, then we will come back here to report back if there are any action items. Thank you. for the public wishing to comment on any of the closed session items. This is your opportunity. Seeing none approach, we will close the public comment portion and move on. Thank you.